Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Today, I want to talk to you briefly about an inaugural event. You're welcome, guys and gals, young men, young ladies, boys, girls. Today, I want to talk to you about an inaugural event, one which ushered in dynamic consequences that forever changed the world and the way we look at it. Of course, I'm speaking about the inauguration of Jesus' ministry. Last week, in Matthew 4, we saw Jesus retreating into Galilee, and it said that he began his ministry. And we saw Jesus calling his disciples, and we also saw clearly that Jesus began to preach with power and with authority. And the message he began to preach is repentance and the nearness of the kingdom of God. Repent, for the kingdom of God, a kingdom of heaven, as they put it in Matthew, is at hand. This week, Jesus begins to preach in earnest. This is where we finally see Jesus actually having a sermon. This is his inaugural sermon. And the reason I call it that is because that's what it said in the commentary I was reading, but they called it inaugural blessings. The event that began something. So this was considered to be the sermon that begins his public ministry. It's fitting if we notice that Jesus' first sermon did not begin with commandments. Remember John? He was preaching. His commands were pretty. Repent! The kingdom of God is at hand. That was his whole thing. Do this because God is coming. And he got on them about, you know, you brood of vipers, who told you? Why are you doing here for baptism? What are you here for? He was pretty harsh. He was announcing the gospel, but he was pretty much into commands. Jesus ushers in his ministry, not with commandments, but with blessings. When you think of these blessings, three types of blessings. The first blessings are for the poor, those in need, those suffering. Theologian Frederick Brunner calls this the inaugural blessings, and that's why I use that term. As they are the group that these first blessings, the first four, are the ones that inaugurate Jesus' public ministry. They begin the Sermon on the Mount. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. These blessings are also often called the Beatitudes of grace and faith. As those who receive them do so solely by God's grace, through no laudable characteristics of their own. I mean, think of it. Poor in spirit. Some people would say that person doesn't have much faith. Why could you be poor in spirit? Shouldn't you trust in God? But no, some are poor in spirit. And yet, Jesus says that theirs is the kingdom of God. Don't think because you doubt or because you feel that God might be distant that you're excluded from the kingdom. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. There will come a time when tears will be no more. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. The world likes strength, and that's what the world pretty much functions on. Who is stronger? Who can grab what? Who can keep it the longest? Funny enough, while that may be the way the world operates in general, think about it. All of the powerful empires have always fallen. They are for a time, and they fall. Rome fell. The British Empire, it fell. The
a communist empire, it fell. Nazi Germany, it fell. Therein we have hope that the meek truly will inherit the earth. The gentle, the peaceful will inherit the earth. Jesus tells us it is so. Blessed are those that hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Do we not hunger and thirst for righteousness? How many of us out there actually are righteous? We may have shadows of righteousness, but wouldn't you like to be more righteous than you are? I know I would. And it says here that those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, those who just don't seem to measure up, don't hit the mark all the time, those who want to do what is right, they will be filled. There is hope. Blessings given to us, not by our account, but by the gracious mercy of God, received in faith. So therefore, the Beatitudes of grace and faith. God favors the lowly, the hurting, the downtrodden, the weak, the sad. Those who just do not measure up in the eyes of this world. This kind of echoes what Paul was talking about in 1 Corinthians. How the cross is foolishness for those who are perishing. This too is foolishness for those who look only to this world. If God blesses the lowly and the downtrodden and the poor in spirit, why are they all happy? Why are they all rich? Why are they all doing well? Foolishness of the world. The next group of Beatitudes we have is ones of service and love. Now, these are a little bit different than the first because you do these things and you receive blessings. Blessed are the merciful, for they will receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. These blessings come to those who are merciful, those who are pure of heart, and those who seek peace. These graces are received when we serve others. In the Sermon on the Mount, we move from the focus of the blessings being on the sufferers to those who are the doers. But who are we? Keep that in the back of your mind. Who are we? Which group do you fit into? These blessings, the second group, are for those who are not empty, those who are not weak in spirit, those who are not meek, those who are strong, can do for themselves, those who are not in mourning, those who are able to function, they are full. This is often called the blessings of the full. Those who are full and able to function and to do for others. Lastly, we have another set of Beatitudes. These are often called the pain Beatitudes. The blessings received in pain for doing what we are called to do. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. Might not necessarily be here, but your reward is great in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Notice something about that first blessing, that first pain blessing, we'll call it that. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Exactly the same blessing given to those who are poor in spirit. These two are linked together. Why are they linked together? Have you ever done what's right in the eyes of God and suffered for it? Have you ever shown mercy? Have you ever been a peacemaker? Have you ever spoken out for mercy, for peace? Have you ever done something in an attempt to keep your heart pure? Didn't go along with the crowd, perhaps, maybe when you were younger, in school, in college, and you were reviled for it? Did you ever think, "Well, God, I've done the right thing, and now I'm getting all of this flack for it. My friends are calling me names, they don't want to hang around with me anymore," whatever it might be. Often when we do the right thing, do the thing that God calls us to do, we will be targeted. And we will then be the poor in spirit. "Lord, I've done all you've asked me to do, and here I am. Where are you?" Even in those times, God will bless you. He has not abandoned you. I want to close now because we have to get on with things because we have a meeting today, and I don't want to drag this out too long. But I just want to say about these blessings and reiterate. These blessings are never mutually exclusive to one another. It's not as if the first four are for the poor and the lowly and those folks over there. And the second ones are for maybe me and you and the ones who practice peace, mercy, pure of heart. Or at least try to do those things. And then the other two are for those people who, like we hear in the Middle East, who are really being persecuted for righteousness' sake. These are not mutually exclusive at all. No. They're all linked together because in our lives, we will always be all three of those things. There are times that we are poor in spirit. There are times that we feel meek and powerless. There are times that we are merciful. There are times that we are the peacemakers, and there are times that we feel persecuted and reviled for what we do. These blessings are ever eternal. The point being here, God continues to bless us no matter what station we may be in our lives. Poor in spirit, peacemaker, reviled for righteousness, God continues to bless us always. Never feel that God has withdrawn his blessings from you. I know that's a big thing in the world today. If something's not going right in your life, there will always be somebody who will say, "Well, maybe you just haven't given yourself to Jesus. Maybe you're just not really faithful enough. Maybe you haven't prayed enough. Maybe there's something you're doing in your life, Job, that's causing this problem." But never forget, God blesses you. He's faithful. Even when we're weak. Even when we don't do so well. When we do good. And when we are reviled for doing good. God's blessings never end.